The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
In Matthew 24, verse 32, what does the fig tree represent? And what is the lesson that Jesus wants his disciples to learn from the fig tree? Let's think about this on today's episode of Grace in Focus. This is a radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. We would love for you to learn more about us by going to our website, faithalone.org. There are hundreds of articles there about our focused free grace position. There's also a bookstore, and you can learn about our online seminary, Grace Evangelical Seminary, where you can earn an MDiv degree. Find application details and other information at faithalone.org. Now, with today's question and answer discussion, here are Ken Yates and Catherine Wright.
This one was not technically sent in, but I was asked this at Sunday school class. And so it deals with Matthew chapter 24, verse 32. This is part of Jesus's Olivet Discourse in the Gospel of Mark. He also has the Olivet Discourse in Mark and Luke as well. And in Matthew chapter 24, verse 32, Jesus says, "Now hear this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see these things," the question is, what is these things? "Know that it is near at the door. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place." For our older listeners, you may remember years past, the evangelical world interpreted these verses as referring to the state of Israel. That when Jesus says, take a lesson from the fig tree, that what he's talking about is the nation of Israel. And there's reasons for doing that. Yeah. In Mark 11, for example, when Jesus curses the fig tree and then he goes in and cleans the temple out, it's clear that the fig tree is a symbol of the nation of Israel. The reason for that is there are Old Testament verses that compare Israel to a fig tree, such as in Hosea 9, in Jeremiah, there's a number of passages making certain parallels with a fig tree. Like, for example, does Israel produce good figs? Do they produce good fruit? Mm-hmm. And because they don't, God's going to judge them. And that's what Jesus does in Mark chapter 11. Well, you know, Jesus pronounces judgment upon Israel because they're not producing fruit. That's what the cleansing of the temple means. And that's why he curses the fig tree. Okay. So is that what it means in Matthew 24? And there's a lot of lessons to learn from this. And in Sunday school, that was the question. What's going on here? What is the fig tree? What does it mean when Jesus says, learn a lesson from the fig tree? Is he talking about the nation of Israel? If he is, what does it mean when he says, when you see the fig tree, when you see that its branches are tender and puts forth leaves, you know the summer is near? Okay, here it is for you older folks. When I was younger, when I was first went to seminary, it was very common to hear people say that when Jesus refers to the fig tree in Matthew 24, it's talking about the nation of Israel, and he says, when you see its branches and its leaves start spreading, what you're talking about is when Israel became a nation in 1948.
Okay.
Oh, that was very common. A number of books were written about this, Hal Lindsey's book.
It's a pretty big event.
Yeah. You know, the argument is, okay, in Mark 11, for example, Jesus talks about the fig tree being Israel. Judgment is falling upon them. That happened in AD 70 when the Romans killed them. And now Jesus says, when you see the fig tree spreading its branches, that means when Israel comes back to the land and becomes a nation again, because it's talking about the fig tree. And so,
the idea of the generation there, that the Lord's going to return before 88.
That's exactly what
they said.
Which
is kind of problematic considering I was born in 88.
Well, that's one of the many problems here. It was very common to hear people say, and again, they sold millions of books promoting this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was a book written by a NASA engineer that I remember, and the title of the book was 88 Reasons why the rapture will occur in 1988.
Wow.
And it sold, I want to say, 5 million copies. Now, for those
it's
of you
like
who
the great disappointment, man.
Yes.
This is like, if nothing will humble you faster than doing a prediction about end times.
And not only did he say it was going to be in 1988, he said it was going to be between September the 11th and September 13th,
ooh,
based upon a Jewish religious holiday.
All right.
And of course, when it didn't happen, he said he missed it by a few weeks. And then he said it was going to be October the 3rd. I remember this. And then when October 3rd didn't happen, he said, oh, I missed it by a year because the Jews don't count the first year when there's a timeline.
Mm-hmm,
and so it was
mm-hmm.
going to be in 1989. And of course, all of that was ridiculous.
Did they do a... Did they come back after like in 89 and be like, our bad? We obviously misinterpreted this parable.
Well, we laugh at it now because it's stupid, but the idea was that there were people who quit their jobs.
Yeah,
there were
people it's like the great disappointment.
There's all kinds of problems with this view. Pat Robertson promoted it. Oral Roberts promoted it.
Oh.
Hal Lindsey promoted it. There were a number of people, and a lot of people made a lot of money off this.
Mm.
When we were discussing this in Sunday school, someone very astutely and obviously said, if they really believed the Lord was coming,
really?
The next day, why did they want
all the money? That's literally what I was just thinking. I was like why
would
they
write these books?
Yeah, if you believed
Why are you taking all this time to write these books?
That's so bizarre.
I guess maybe if you were writing in the 50s or 60s, you had
sure.
some time.
You had a little
but
bit of time.
I first went to seminary in 83. So this was a big deal.
It was coming up.
You know, it was coming up quick.
Yeah.
It's coming. It'll be here before you know it. What am I talking about? The Grace Evangelical Society's National Conference 2025, May 19th through 22nd at Camp Copus, an absolutely beautiful campground in North Texas, right on the lake with lots of recreation, great food, a great place to stay, wonderful fellowship, and wonderful free grace Bible teaching. Information and online registration now at faithalone.org/events. First timers waive registration fees. faithalone.org/events.
So what can we say about this? You know, first of all, even if the fig tree here is Israel, how do you know that the nation coming to the land in 1948 wasn't going to be driven out of the land later and then come back at a future date? You know, but I don't remember them discussing that. It had to be the 1948. And you can see why it was popular. People were reading the news after World War II and all that happened with Israel and the Jews coming back. After going through all that, people would have thought, man, the world's just falling apart.
Yeah.
We just had this world war.
Yeah.
The Lord's got to be close. Look, Israel's still around. Who would have thought?
Even with the Holocaust. Right.
All that happened to them. Hitler tried to wipe them out.
Yeah.
And now you could see how sensationalism came into play here.
Mm-hmm.
And how exciting to look at the newspapers and CBS News and say, wow, the very words of the Lord are being fulfilled right before our eyes. And you had these leaders within evangelicalism promoting this, men that were respected by the man and the woman in the pew. And so there's some lessons we can learn here.
I was about to say, even before we get to what the parable means, just the importance of thinking critically, I guess.
Yeah, and that's the lesson, right?
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
To look at this and say, first of all, what's the context? The context is the tribulation.
Hmm.
You know, Jesus is talking about the tribulation. When he says these things, he's talking about the things he talked about in chapter 24, the abomination of desolation, the tribulation period that he talks about in 24, the famines and all that. He's not talking about when you see Israel become a nation. He's talking about the things that he just got through talking about. And the verses immediately before this, he talks about the sun not shining and the moon not shining. And then before that, there's a reference, I believe, to the carcasses and the vultures the Battle of Armageddon. When you see these things happening, this generation will not pass away until all these things.
Meaning
occur.
The generation at the tribulation.
All the generation. Right.
I think also just speaking to how important it is to see that contextually is that even right now, today in our context, we see what's going on in Israel. And there are a lot of people who are looking at that and they're like, is this, you know, is this it? Are we coming to the end? And we don't know. Could the Lord be coming back soon?
I is sure the hope Lord so, preparing right? the world? Absolutely.
Yeah,
it could be.
Yeah, and maybe, but we cannot definitively say. So I do think even as we look at the state of the world today, how much different is it from 1948? I mean, the same thinking could easily overcome believers today, and they could be duped into a similar misunderstanding.
Yeah, in verse 44, he says, you don't know the hour. You don't know when this is happening.
Mm-hmm.
And so anybody, it is a rebuke to the evangelical world that someone could write a book and sell 5 million copies who says the Lord's coming back on September 11th, 1988. You know, now he's going to say, because I heard this back then too, well, we don't know the hour, but we know the day, or we know the year, right? And of course, as you just mentioned just a minute ago, we got to be discerning.
Really?
And then can I also say that a lot of people who jumped on this bandwagon were sincere.
Yeah.
But
oh, yeah.
There were also people who were doing it for greed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you can sell 10 million, I don't know what you would get if you sold 10 million copies of a book, how much money you would get for something like that.
A lot.
A lot of money. Even if you sincerely believe this, you need to step back. What is my motivation here?
Sure.
You know, and that's a warning for us. It's a warning that we can be like the world here. I also want to say that this caused the church to be ridiculed in the eyes of the world, and deservedly so.
Yeah.
You know, if the world sees the church saying, yeah, this is the day he's going to come, and then when he doesn't come on that day, say, oh, well, I missed it by 3 weeks. And then when that doesn't come, say, oh, I missed it by a year. For the world to see us doing that when just a few verses later the Lord says, no one knows when this is going to happen, but then we're doing it. And then also, Yeshua are making a lot of money promoting this.
Yeah.
You know, and so, yeah, there's some lessons to be learned here. So anyway, for those in the Sunday school class who asked that question, thanks. I don't know how many of the younger people could relate to it, but if you live through it, I'm sure there's others who say, yeah, I remember those days. Mm-hmm. So, well, folks, we hope you enjoyed this. And until we meet next time, remember, keep grace in focus.
We would love to know where you are when you are listening to us. Please take a short minute to send us the call letters of this station and the city where you are listening, and how many times a week you listen. Thank you. You will be helping us with our stewardship. Send it to radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can give, go to faithalone.org. On our website, we have a church tracker. It's an easy-to-use map that will help you locate those other Free Grace churches that might be in your area. So come visit us at the website and take advantage of our free church tracker. It's at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. Now, we hope you have a great weekend, and join us on Monday for another episode. Until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.